From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Good morning, I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for being with us for our live broadcast on Thursday morning and our repeat on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock as well. Earlier this year in Ohio, death row inmate Dennis McGuire was executed using a never-before-tried combination of drugs. It took him nearly 15 minutes to die, with McGuire appearing to struggle and gasp several times during the process. That incident brought the death penalty debate back to many people's minds, but it has been in discussion in the bluegrass for years, though the death penalty or abolition of the death penalty has seen growing support across party lines. It still has an uphill battle in the state capitol, with neither of the bills that are currently proposed actually moving forward at all, from what we can tell. The question remains, is it time to do away with capital punishment in the Commonwealth? And we're interested in hearing from you, our listeners. We have two guests with us today, and we hope to hear from you by email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com or by calling 800-621-8890. If you get on the line, it may be a few minutes before we actually talk with you, but you are welcome to do so, so that you can reserve your place and be part of the conversation. Let me introduce our two guests, and then we will get into the conversation here. Ray Larson, first, has been the Commonwealth Attorney for Fayette County since 1985. The department responsible for the prosecution of all felony cases within the county prosecutes over 1,500 multiple count felony indictments each year, according to their website. Larson is empathetic in his support for maintaining the death penalty in the state. And Mr. Larson, thank you so much for giving us the time to be with us this morning.
Glad to be here.
Also with us, and we'll get into a conversation with him after we speak with Mr. Larson, is Alan Ault. And Dean Ault is the Dean of the Department of Criminal Justice and Safety at Eastern Kentucky University. He has served as a corrections commissioner in several states, including Colorado, Mississippi, and Georgia, the latter of which he resigned from in 1995. During his time as corrections commissioner, Dean Ault oversaw five executions with left a lasting emotional impact for him. We will hear Dean Ault's story as we get into the program. Dean Ault, thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Prosecutor, I guess Mr. Larson, would we call you prosecutor, district attorney in many situations?
Well, in Kentucky, we call felony prosecutors Commonwealth attorney.
Okay, excellent.
In some states, it's state's attorney. Some states, it's district attorney.
Well, thank you for helping me clarify that, because the terminology, I know it does vary across state borders. Well, let's talk about your view on the death penalty. First of all, that issue that occurred up in Ohio with the problems with the execution of Mr. McGuire, how do you react to something like that?
Well, do you know anything about the facts of the crime that he committed to get himself in that position?
I'm sure I read about it. I certainly haven't paid a lot of attention to the.
So you don't know what.
Certainly something horrible which got him brought
right.
to death row, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm sorry it happened. I'm sorry that it took 15 minutes for him to die. However, I suspect it took his victims considerably longer than that to die, and I really spend most of my time worrying about the victims who did not volunteer to be part of this process. And this guy made his bed, and he had to sleep in it.
So let's talk in general about your view on the death penalty. You have been very publicly recognized as a proponent and supporter of the death penalty. There are a lot of folks talking about making changes, even in the Commonwealth. Why do you support the death penalty? Why is it important for that to remain part of our
legal system?
I think
it's an appropriate penalty for certain crimes. And most people in Kentucky have no idea when the death penalty applies. They think it applies to every murder, and it doesn't. It applies to only aggravated murders. And aggravated murders are, for example, a person who has a prior conviction of murder or a murder that occurs in the course of committing an arson first degree, robbery first degree, burglary first degree, rape first degree, or sodomy. It's if you use a bomb, then that becomes an aggravated circumstance. If you kill somebody for profit, for money, that's a aggravating circumstance. If you kill a prison guard, if a prisoner kills a prison guard, that's an aggravating circumstance. Let me ask you a question. If you were in prison, serving a life without parole sentence, and we didn't have the death penalty in Kentucky, what would cause you, what would prevent you from killing somebody else and getting the same penalty you got now?
Well, we'll leave that stand as a rhetorical question for our listeners and to react to as well. We're interested in hearing from our listeners and your views on the death penalty during today's program. But, Mr. Larson, let's talk about, I mean, how does the process work in terms of when the death penalty will be invoked? As a prosecutor, when someone is brought forward for one of these aggravated murders, is that a decision that you make to come to the court and request that this be considered for death penalty? Potential
so
punishment?
If it is an aggravated murder, and most of the aggravated murders that we deal with are murders that occur in the course of a robbery. You know, armed robber, every armed robber makes the same decision. That is, do I take the money and run, or do I take the money, kill the witness, and run? And in the instance of aggravating circumstances, the robbery in the first degree that results in a murder is, you know, it's all pretty simple. To me, if it qualifies as an aggravating circumstance, then we seek it. Now, evidence can fall apart on you as you move forward, and it also depends on if the evidence somehow becomes suppressed, for example, or that sort of thing, and that weakens your ability to prosecute the case, then we'll manage that. But typically, if you want to know how I choose to seek the death penalty, is that your question?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I read the statute, because the statute sets it all out. If this occurs, then capital punishment's available. We're very consistent over here. I guess one of the complaints people have is that people aren't consistent. Well, I can only do what I can do in Fayette County. And we seek the death penalty when it's an aggravated murder.
And in general, when you seek the death penalty and recommend that, and when you're bringing a case to trial, is that generally recognized by the court, by the judge, taking your recommendation into consideration, or are there times when that gets overturned by the judge
who decides to impose a different sentence?
The judge
doesn't have anything much to do with whether or not the death penalty is sought. If there is not sufficient evidence that a murder is an aggravated murder, then they can say, no, the death penalty is not an option in this case. So judges are not, they don't have a lot to say about whether the death penalty sought or not.
How do you react to discussions that have gone on the last number of years about folks being discovered to be innocent as a result of DNA evidence and changes?
Are they innocent or... you know, we've had one of those, what do they call it, Innocence Projects cases.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that, boy, they got Larson on this one. Well, it turns out that the facts of the case, it had to do with a rape, and this young woman had sexual intercourse with somebody else just prior to being raped by this guy. And... So that wasn't successful. How do I react to this?
I mean, are there sometimes innocent people being executed? Is my question.
There is no validated evidence of anybody innocent being executed.
Commonwealth Attorney of Fayette County, Ray Larson, is with us on this week's Eastern Standard. In a few minutes, we'll talk to Dean Alan Ault, who is a vocal opponent of the death penalty on this week's program. We're interested in hearing your opinion. 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Mr. Larson, there are a couple of bills filed in the Kentucky General Assembly. Democrat from Louisville, Gerald Neal, filed a bill in the House. And there's a bill in the Senate as well that would move to...
No. Gerald Neal filed... He's a senator. He filed it in the Senate.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. And Representative Floyd, David Floyd, filed in the House. What do you think of those bills? Is there any possibility that those are going to move forward in the legislature? And do you think there is a chance that the death penalty could be abolished in the Commonwealth?
I'd be surprised if it is this time. I'm trying to recover from some kind of what we call crap.
Oh my!
And so I sound awful. So I'm sorry, but I don't think that the abolition of the death penalty will pass this time.
What if it did? As a prosecutor, somebody in this role for nearly 30 years, how would that change what you do?
Well, our job is to enforce the law. And if the law no longer provided for the death penalty, well, the death penalty is off the table. I mean, I disagree with the efforts to abolish it, but I'm not going to slit my wrists over the death penalty being abolished.
Would, if these bills, one of these bills were moving forward, would you testify? Would you get involved in the political process?
Well, if they asked me to, I would. But, you know, they typically don't ask me to do it. I'm sort of a lightning rod, and they don't ask me over very often.
We're going to take a break for about a minute or so. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is with us, and we'll be returning to him in just a few minutes on WEKU's Eastern Standard. Send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Give us a call, 800-621-8890. In a minute's time, we're going to meet Dean Alan Ault of the Eastern Kentucky University College of Justice and Safety. Thanks for joining us for Eastern Standard on WEKU. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen. Our guest today, Ray Larson, Commonwealth Attorney of Fayette County, and Dean Alan Ault. Alan is the Dean of the Department of Criminal Justice and Safety at Eastern Kentucky University.
College,
excuse me. And has served as Corrections Commissioner in several states, including Colorado, Mississippi, and Georgia. And Dean Ault, I understand you resigned from your post in Georgia in 1995. Tell us how that happened. Why did you resign?
Well, all the time I was in corrections, I did not have to execute because it takes so long between the time someone is sentenced. And so when I was called back into service as commissioner after they had a scandal in Georgia, then I faced the first execution. And the 101st Airborne had trained me how to be a killer, so and during the Korean War, I understood the concept. And I thought that I could handle it, but I want to get into why I couldn't. And I'd like to respond in two manners. One, academically, I am a dean, and about the research regarding capital punishment. And then secondly, more personally, as the first degree premeditated murderer of five human beings. First, and logically, if you presented the argument in a logic class that you were going to diminish murders by committing a much more premeditated murder than the one they committed in order to demonstrate that one should not commit murders, one would be accused of convoluted logic, it would seem to me. There is no credible research to indicate that capital punishment serves as a deterrent. I mean, zero, none. It's analogous to the hanging pickpockets in England on the public square in order to deter pickpockets. And while they were hanging those pickpockets, pickpockets were picking the pockets of the witnesses in the public square. It did not deter them. The research over the past five decades from B.F. Skinner on indicates that in order to extinguish a behavior through negative reinforcers, and I would guess the death penalty would be considered a negative reinforcer, but it must occur consistently every time, and it must happen immediately after the undesired behavior. I mean, there has to be a connection. Well, if you put that on one end of the continuum, capital punishment would be about 5 zillion miles away on the other end of the continuum, because it's never been applied consistently. And it's never happened immediately after undesired behavior in recent history anyway. Yeah. And of the five human beings I murdered, the least time any of them spent on death row was 17 years. So You can't say it's immediate. Now, we could solve the time lag by eliminating all those awful appeal processes, but let's hold on a minute. And regardless what my friend says in Fayette County, in the last decade, we have definitely proven and found innocent 140 individuals on death row through DNA testing and released them, exonerated them. Unfortunately, I have no way of knowing how many innocent individuals we have executed since the mid-1970s when the death row came back after a moratorium. It was lifted by the Furman decision, U.S. Supreme Court. Then there's an argument, well, it's more economical than keeping somebody in prison for life. Well, California spent $4 billion on capital punishment, which has resulted in 17 executions. And so far, that averages out to $184 million per execution. Nationally, it's four or five times more to execute somebody. To go through a capital punishment trial is much more expensive. The appeals over many, many years are very expensive. So it's much more expensive than life without parole. And then the argument, well, that I heard this morning, that we only put the most egregious, in this case, aggravated cases on death row. Within the last 4 years, a recent research study by John Donahue of Stanford analyzed all capital crimes in Connecticut over the past four decades. And he had judges with criteria. And they judged on how egregious each case was, every capital crime. And the egregiousness was based on, was there torture, pain, rape, you know, did they commit several murders? And of the cases that were judged, the 46 cases that were judged the most egregious, only one case was on death row. A couple of overzealous prosecutors was a much bigger variable than the egregiousness of the crime.
That's what I was wondering about. Why the variation in terms of the application of the death penalty and the prosecution?
Well, even if you saw research on selection of juries, it has a tremendous impact on how the outcome of capital cases come about.
Let me just ask, I mean, you know, of course, you know, there has been a long tradition of the death penalty in Kentucky and in our nation, mm-hmm. and in much of civilized society. And the logic there was always applied to by saying that persons had committed a terrible crime, persons had committed a murder, and it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth type of response. Have there not been cases where you have felt this crime was so awful this person should be executed?
Well, I met Timothy McVeigh down in Florence, Colorado, and along with some other really fine people. Youssef, who World Trade Center was in that, Ted Kaczynski was in that cell block. The staff told me that McVeigh was an arrogant son of a bitch, and he was taken to Terre Haute and executed. And he died thinking he was some sort of martyr. He had revenged Waco. I wanted him to stay in like John Gotti and found out that he was a miserable human being. Unfortunately, the warden who was responsible for executing him became director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. 2 years ago, he had to resign from his position because of DUI. Those who've been involved in execution were not surprised by that. The other little problem is capital punishment racially biased. I mean, the first moratorium in the 60s was because it was so racially biased. The facts are still, since that time, since the mid-70s, the victims of capital punishment have been pretty equally split between whites and blacks. But 75% of those on death row are for killing whites. Over 50% on death rows are black inmates. If a black kills a white in the U.S., the odds of a death sentence are much higher than if a white kills a black.
Let me ask you this, Dean Ault. Perhaps it could be argued that, you know, your problems with the death penalty and having been a corrections officer responsible for correction is a matter of the fact you were just in the wrong job. It's not something you should have been doing. Maybe someone else with a different mindset should have been in that position.
Well, I think we could hire psychopaths without conscience or sadists to do it. And we could really prove how depraved our society is if we did that. This is where it gets really personal. Knowing full well that capital punishment did not serve as a deterrent, I allowed myself to rationalize my way through five executions. And I really have never been able to forgive myself for that. I said at the time it was a small part of my job of running a corrections agency comprised of 15,000 employees and a $1 billion budget, but it became all-encompassing and a total soul-consuming operation. At the time, I had a family and a mortgage and needed a job, but I soon realized I was selling my soul for the job. I brought my self-being, my integrity, my honor, my humanity to a level of depravity that was worse than those I executed. None of the individuals that had murdered, they hadn't killed five human beings like I had. And I still can't rationalize that fact away. I've written a newspaper article for Newsweek that I don't remember the names, but I can still see them in my nightmares. I make dozens of speeches. I've appeared on national and international television. I try to be extremely meaningful and impactful in my job and helping young people. I've tried Kentucky bourbon and vodka, and it just masks the pain temporarily.
Would you say that, I mean, you've gotten involved in actively speaking out as you're doing here,
yeah.
And we met you just in the recent weeks when you were appearing on the BBC, mm-hmm. Apparently a lot of interest in your position in Great Britain. Would you say that your involvement is kind of a penance, your way of...
I think it's cathartic for me, but it isn't working very well. And then I found out I wasn't alone. Everybody I know that has been involved or I've met been involved has a lot of problems.
Those involved in carrying out the death penalty.
Death penalty, yeah. I've been on a Discovery Channel series on it, but I'm in a movie that will come out shortly about executioners. One of the potential stars wrapped himself in a blanket and blew his brains out. There are two very strong ex-Marines who executed people who are now totally dysfunctional, alcoholics and drug addicts, suicidal. Don Cabana, who killed people at Parchman in the death chamber, has written books about it and made many speeches about it. There's a group of six of us, ex-directors of corrections from California to Ohio, that's formed a group to work on the death penalty. And I guess all of that is to help relieve our conscience.
Well, our program is an interactive show, so I want to encourage listeners to get on board with their questions, their comments, maybe personal stories. Have you known someone who was facing the death penalty or accused of a crime that could have involved the death penalty? 800-621-8890 is our phone number. Send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can post on our Facebook page or send us a tweet at WEKUEST. Again, the phone number, 800-621-8890. We'd be glad to get you on the air as part of our conversation on this week's Eastern Standard. And we do have a caller on the line, Bobby from Mount Sterling. Let's get Bobby on the air. Thank you, Bobby, for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple things, really. I'm one of those people that believes that we should go back to the Cool Hand Luke kind of prison, you know. I think that they have too many rights as it is now in prison. I mean, I know people who work hard every day and have less than those who have committed a crime and are in prison. They have cable TV. They have access to things that poor working people don't even have. But the dean made a comment about execution and the fact that it's not a deterrent. And here's my thing on that. It's not a deterrent anymore because we don't do it often enough. When was the last time anybody was executed in Kentucky? I'm a firm believer in capital punishment.
Mr. Larson, a Commonwealth attorney for Fayette County, when was the last execution in Kentucky?
I think it may have been 1999, and he was a volunteer. He wanted out of here.
15 years. Why is that the case? Why has the death penalty not been carried out? I'm sure there are folks on death row. Is that correct?
Sure. There are 33 on death row. I'd like to respond for just a minute to some of the comments that have been made by Mr. Ault.
Bobby, thank you for raising your question. We're going to let you go.
Thank you so much.
And we will encourage others to get on board as we hear from Mr. Larson, 800-621-8890. Go right ahead, Mr. Larson.
He started talking about the percentage of people on death row that are predominantly black. I don't pay much attention to anything but Kentucky. And on death row in Kentucky, 81% of these killers, almost 82%, are white. 15% are black. 3% are Hispanic. They're all men but one. And so I, of course, disagree with his.
I was talking nationally, not just Kentucky.
Well, I'm talking about Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I can have some influence. You said that it's so expensive. Listen, the people that prosecute the cases are state employees like me. The people that defend the cases are state employees like me, and you, for that matter. And the salary that is used to appeal these things is the same whether they're handling a death penalty case or a shoplifting case. Where do you get this major expense? I don't know. There's always been a false argument by the anti-death penalty gang. Now, you may disagree with the death penalty, and you probably were wise in getting out of the business that you obviously weren't suited for. But I happen to think the death penalty is an appropriate punishment for a specific set of facts. Now, you want to talk about is it a deterrent? I don't care whether it's a deterrent because it deals with a specific set of facts. Now, the idea, there have also been studies that indicate that it is a deterrent every time somebody is executed. So you just happen to buy the studies on your side, and I buy the studies on my side.
Now, as our legislators consider the possibility of abolishing the death penalty in Kentucky, one of the issues that was raised is that the death penalty is more expensive than a lifetime incarceration for those who are convicted.
I think that's a BS argument, just like I said, because the lawyers are all state employees wherever they are. And so the expense for the lawyers in handling these appeals is no different than if they're doing a, like I said, a shoplifting case. That's just a bogus argument.
Let me ask Dean Ault, and we're going to take a break here in a couple of minutes, but for, you know, why the death penalty is so expensive? Or
I didn't run those economic numbers. They've been run in each state and by independent bodies.
The independent bodies that run these damn things are the public defender. That's who runs them.
Oh.
And they are with you in hoping for the abolition of the death penalty. And furthermore, you probably get some information from the Death Penalty Information Service, sponsored by George Soros, who's trying to get the death penalty abolished. For interrupting.
And we'll get back to Dean Ault here in just a couple of minutes. Let me just point out that one of the bills being filed or that has been raised in the Kentucky General Assembly, Senate Bill 131, would investigate the cost of the death penalty in Kentucky. So I guess that would be intended to inform any future decision on the application or the abolition of the death penalty. This is an interactive program. Eastern Standard is a program in which we invite you to call in or send us an email to let us know your comments, your questions, your personal stories about our topic. Today we are talking about the death penalty in Kentucky. We're going to take a short break and be back in a minute. 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post on the WEKU Facebook page or send us a tweet at WEKUEST. More from Dean Alan Ault and Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson as Eastern Standard continues on the WEKU stations. Eastern Standard is live on Thursday mornings. We encourage you to participate in our live broadcast by calling 800-621-8890. We're talking about the death penalty. Our guest today, Ray Larson, Commonwealth Attorney of Fayette County for almost 30 years now, and also Dean Alan Ault, who is the Dean of the College of Criminal Justice and Safety at Eastern Kentucky University. And before we get back to the phone line, Dean Ault, you had a comment and reaction to Mr. Larson's comments about the listener's comments about the cool hand Luke type.
Yeah, I was warden in that cool hand Luke state. Of course, that was back in the 30s. But we have a constitutional amendment, just like the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Well, we have an amendment against cruel and unusual punishment. I've been sued over $13 billion worth regarding cruel and unusual punishment. But anybody who's ever spent any time in a prison would never say it's better than being outside. I've been in prisons in all states except North Dakota. They're extremely overcrowded, uncomfortable, dangerous, noise constantly 24/7. You maybe get raped or killed. It's not a pleasant place to be, even if they have a television set. So I just can't buy that line. And I still think we're going to be judged on how we treat the least of us in our society in the future.
Let's go back to the telephone and talk to Jason from Harlan. Jason, thank you for being part of this week's program. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. My question is to the dean, that he's trying to justify giving people life in prison. That's a form of execution. It's just that he don't have to live with it right now. It's cruel and unusual to lock somebody up for 30 years. And because you may die before they do, you've sentenced all these people to a death penalty that's going to sit in a little box. At the end of the day, it's still a death sentence whether you die from old age in prison for the whole life you're in there or whether you do it in an execution chamber. The liberal mindset is very funny when it comes to justification of the death penalty because they say life in prison, but life in prison means death in prison. That is no such thing. That's cruel and unusual. And it's cruel and unusual for the families to have to know that these people live that's murdered their family heinously, like the people in Connecticut, the doctor that had his family burned and wrapped up in the carpet and raped. And they were going to get rid of the death penalty in Connecticut, but they had to stay it just because of that trial right there.
No, they got rid of it.
Oh, well, then they ended up getting rid of it. But the death penalty is just not to make you feel better. It's justice for the victims. And that's what this is about, justice. Now, you can make it up in your mind all you want that the life in prison is not a death penalty. And you're wrong. At the end of the day, the liberals are going to get life in prison, and you're still getting them a death penalty, and you can feel better and go home every day. That was my answer.
All right, Jason, thank you for your call from Harlan on WEKU's Eastern Standard. Dean Ault?
Well, I've never been considered a liberal, but I guess I am now. But obviously there are, in our prison system, the psychopaths, which are about 1% of our North American population, but they create a large percentage of our violent crime, and I think they need to be locked up. There's no known cure for them. I have no justification for anybody, including our current director of corrections, to condemn her to be a murderess to satisfy somebody. One of our Kentucky citizens.
Would you say that again?
I said I don't want our current fine director of corrections to become a murderess to satisfy the political whims of anybody in Kentucky. And she will have to live with that. She's a fine lady, a mother, and of two teenage children. I don't want to condemn her to the same life that I do have had to live with. And I've worked with a lot of families of victims who thought that they would be satisfied if somebody was executed. It didn't happen with most of them. They didn't feel fulfilled, did not satisfy their need.
Well, I want to say something about it. First of all, Jason, if Jason's still listening, and then to Mr. Ault over here, fact of the matter is that these thugs committed the crimes. And under our system of justice, if they get sentenced to 30 years, so what? I mean, they did it. These victims didn't ask for all of this to happen to them. And
I'm not arguing with the fact that they should be sentenced.
Yeah. Well. You know, your conversation seems to be pretty absent of any conversation about the people who are victimized by these hoodlums. So, any rate.
Well, let's go back to the phone and continue our conversation with Wahita from Lexington. Thank you so much for calling, Wahita. Let's hear your comments or your question.
Well, I have a comment. Although a very important point came up that I think needs to have a lot more consideration and research, and that's the racial imbalance of those who end up on death row. But my comment is about looking at other cultures around the world. We as Americans look at cultures or other countries where people are beheaded as a punishment, and we think that is so barbaric. I mean, it's something that we as American people find so difficult to stomach. And yet some of the same people can look at a man struggling during an execution for 15 minutes, and we don't see that as barbaric. I mean, how can we say that someone who dies instantly from having their head chopped off, this is an inhumane and barbaric way of execution? But then we look at people who suffer during executions, and this is aside from the question of whether or not they should be executed, but the manner of execution and comparing those, we don't see an inhumanity in the way, or we don't consider ourselves barbaric for the way that we perform executions.
All right. Wahita, thank you so much for being part of our program this morning. We're going to ask Mr. Larson, Commonwealth Attorney for Fayette County, to respond. As we mentioned, let me get the phone number one more time, 800-621-8890 for others to get on board. I'm sorry, Mr. Larson, go right ahead.
I want to go with the guy in Ohio that struggled for, 15 minutes? I don't know what he did to cause himself to be sentenced to death. You know how difficult it is to get somebody sentenced to death? Very difficult. given the protections and all that sort of thing.
My producers tell me that the gentleman in Ohio raped and killed a pregnant woman.
Perfect. So he killed two people. Well, I really don't have a hell of a lot of sympathy for that guy if he suffered for 15 minutes. That family, the wife, I mean the husband and the rest of that family have suffered and will continue to suffer a life sentence of sadness and trauma and everything else. And I frankly don't find myself particularly sympathetic to a rapist murderer. Now, I'm probably a little harsher than Mr. Ault over there, but I deal with these family members in Lexington, Kentucky, who have people beat to death, stuffed in a barrel, thrown in the river, and it's very, very offensive. And those people didn't deserve it. So, you know, I'm glad I'm here today, but you're talking to a guy that I have concluded that Mr. Ault probably should have never been in the prison business because he just, according to him, didn't have a stomach for it.
To what extent does public opinion impact your feelings about the death penalty, Mr. Larson? Because I believe I saw information in preparation for the program that 67% of the American populace is now opposed to the death penalty, would be willing to abolish the death penalty.
I don't believe that. It's all about how you ask the question. As a matter of fact, I think it's just the opposite. These anti-death penalty folks ask the question. It's all in the makeup of the question. I don't believe it.
Well,
and here's the deal. As long as it's Kentucky law, I'm going to enforce Kentucky law. You see?
You're doing your job.
Not only am I doing my job, but I like doing my job. I mean, if I say I'm just doing my job, that's a cop-out. That means that you don't agree with it. You're just doing it because it's your job. Well, I agree with it.
Well, let's talk about who we're aligned with. I mean, England, Western Europe, Canada have abolished the death penalty. We're aligned with Iran, Saudi, China, all the great enlightened civilizations. I would like us to come in the civilized world. The other problem is the medical profession will not participate in the death penalty for reasons of their oath. The pharmaceutical companies now will not participate. Oklahoma had to stop a death penalty this week because they could not get the chemicals to execute the individual. This is going to be a continuing problem.
That was part of the problem in Ohio, right?
Yes,
they had to change the chemical mixture they were using.
They tried a different one that didn't work. And so
let me tell you about this Western European stuff. The surveys that I have seen indicates that with the exception of Italy, the Western European countries, the populace of the Western European countries favor the death penalty. It's just that the political class won't let them vote on it. Now, the other thing is, and then, of course, the next argument may not be with the death penalty, is that we have more people in prison than anybody but China and somebody else.
Everybody.
I don't know.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, in America, we commit a lot of crimes, unfortunately. And if you look at the arrest rate of those countries and the incarceration rate, it just about evens out, percentage-wise. You know, it's once again, they just look at raw numbers. Well, that raw numbers doesn't work. You got to look at it. But that's the same kind of crap that the anti-punishment gang is talking about.
Let me go back to the phone. We have Bex from Lexington, who I believe has a personal story. Bex, thank you for calling. Tell us your story.
Hi. I've been a fence sitter on the death penalty for a number of years. And when we lived in Florida, Ted Bundy was captured, and he tried to avoid getting punished, getting the death penalty by leaking out driblets of where people were buried and that type of thing. And they finally went ahead and executed him. And I was in favor of that because I knew that Ted Bundy was evil. Well, then I found out that the guy that I sat next to in class at Cornell in 1981, a guy named Stephen Ross, was arrested in the state of Connecticut for raping and murdering several young girls. And this is a guy that I knew. And all of a sudden, because I knew him, even though he'd done virtually the same thing, I was no longer in favor of it. That there was some humanity in this person. And that's the point that I realized that I couldn't sense it anymore. That I'm now a proponent of life in prison. I think that that's adequate punishment. And I just think that, as the guest has said, that Eastern Europe is, I think, a little bit more civil and more humane a place to be. And I think that the death penalty should probably be abolished.
All right, Bex, thank you for your call to Eastern Standard. Let's talk to Brian from Frankfurt with a follow-up. Brian, go right ahead with your question or your comment.
Yes, this is Brian, and I think that the death penalty system that we have now could be defined as cruel and unusual punishment, being kept in solitary confinement until you are taken down and executed could easily be defined as that. And, you know, I think that re-looking at the death penalty, I think we should keep it, but that it should be more along the lines of a fast track and reserved for only the most heinous crimes, like John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, the people with incontrovertible evidence.
All right. Brian, thank you. I want to get one more caller on the air and then get some final comments from our guests. Charles from Lexington. Charles, go right ahead. We'll give you about a minute for your question. Are you still there, Charles?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here. I apologize. I would like to make a comment to Commonwealth, I believe it was Prosecutor Larson. Earlier, he said that he can only do what he can within the state of Kentucky. And a fact was stated earlier that the last death that was committed here in Kentucky, death punishment was committed in Kentucky, was 15 years ago, and that the dean had said that it's been proven, like the pickpocketing, it's proven that it's not very effective in some studies. It would seem to me that law is not only for people who have already committed the crime, but it's in place to warn people who are preparing or who are about to commit a crime to not do so, that this is the punishment that's in place waiting for you if that's about to happen. There are 33 people on death row right now in the state of Kentucky. Larson had said that most of these crimes, most of these murders that have been committed in Kentucky happened in a moment of heat, whenever a robbery was being committed, which is to say that, and they had to dispose of the witness or not, which is to say that no thinking was done, that this was a moment where split decisions were made without thinking anything through. Long story short, my question is, if the last death punishment was 15 years ago in the state of Kentucky, there are currently 33 people on death row right now, what is the effectiveness of having death punishment here in Kentucky if it's done so seldomly? Obviously, there's a substantial amount of people who are on death row right now in Kentucky.
Charles, thank you. Thank you for raising that question. We're going to get an answer from Mr. Larson. We are running out of time. Mr. Larson, response?
Well, the appellate process, about which I complain a lot, it takes forever. If we did it like Virginia, where they have statutory time deadlines within which the appeals have to be dealt with, you know, they average 7 years in Virginia because they have deadlines. We've had a case that sat on a judge's desk for 5 years before he did anything. That's kind of the problem.
All right. I'm sorry, Mr. Larson. We're running out of time. Dean Ault, what do we do if we were not to have a death penalty?
Well, we have death penalty in all of our most violent states. And the fact is that the states that don't have the death penalty and the countries that don't have the death penalty have less violence. So there must be something more than just garbage from the liberals about it.
I apologize, gentlemen, that we have no more time for this week's discussion on Eastern Standard. Thank you, Mr. Ray Larson, Commonwealth Attorney for Fayette County. Thank you, Dean Alan Ault of the College of Justice and Safety at Eastern Kentucky University.
See ya.
Thank you. Our program is produced by WEKU at Eastern Kentucky University. Our producers are Andrew Moorhead, Logan Riley, and Richard Turner. Richard produced today's program. Our technical director is Joni Franklin. Julie Tennell has been on the phones. We've had some help from Brian Bartlett as well. Thanks for joining us for Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.